I just want to give you a warning. We'll be using some mature language in this week's podcast, and by mature language, I mean, of course, immature language, language that's off-color and mildly offensive. So if you're listening in your office, put the headphones on. Children, if you're listening with your parents, make them go out of the room. And if you're listening over the speakers in your living room, I'm talking to you, SF Panda, just make sure the impressionable house pets are out of the room. But don't worry, at all times we will conduct ourselves with the utmost intelligence, taste, and maturity. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 255, Balls and Wiener. So I'm standing in the dressing room at the New Victory Theater with Reed Martin.
Reed Martin here.
And Matt Rippey.
And Austin Titchener.
And Austin Titchener, all of us in various stages of undress, getting ready for our Saturday night show here at the New Victory, our third performance. And we've had some of the most interesting conversations we have in our professional lives. And it really reveals the kinds of conversations that we have in our comedy business, because the New Victory bills itself as family theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Family theater. And what I love about their programming is that it's interesting theater that's suitable for families. Mm-hmm. It's not theater for kids that parents have to endure. It's really good theater, and if kids will like it too. But that makes it a challenge for a comedy group
who loves juvenile toilet humor.
Who loves juvenile, yeah. Our sense of humor is about the fifth or sixth grade sense of humor, and yet some of those jokes have been deemed inappropriate. So we had an hour-long conversation the other night about what in the show was appropriate and what we were going to have to change. And it was very interesting.
Well, it was. They read the script and they marked about, I don't know, 15 or 18 places where, in fairness, they just said, we need to look at these.
Right.
And we said, yeah, there were two or three where we said, yeah, we should just cut this. This isn't going to play. And then most of it, they and we agreed, well, let's do it once at the dress rehearsal and see what plays.
Because these were flags, you say, Reed, that were based on just reading the script, mm-hmm. right? Which, so without seeing it in context, then who knows? And maybe they just have like a New Victory program that they run the script through that just goes, ooh,
right.
Well, Mary Rose Lloyd, the artistic director at the New Victory, had seen the sports performance, seen us perform sports at Princeton at the McCarter Theater, I don't know, however, a year ago.
Yeah, last September, I think.
Last fall. Wow. And she had said right then on the night, great, you're coming to the New Victory next year, we'll figure out when. So nothing in that performance in Princeton flagged her as, oh my God, we could never have this show here at the New Victory. So we knew we were going to be okay, so we're coming in, but we did have to have this conversation.
Well, and it's the conversation we had a year and a half ago when we did the Shakespeare show here, mm-hmm. is that there were, about the same number of places where you go, is this going to play to kids? Is it appropriate? And we had the discussion, and it ended up there's two or three places where we had to change something, and mostly we left it as it was. I mean,
And it's not only inappropriate material, it's material that the kids aren't going to get, because it's references to Martina Navratilova or movies from the 70s and the 80s that these kids have no idea what we're talking about.
Although it turns out they do. They're laughing just as much as...
Right.
So some things you think, oh, the kids aren't going to get this, and they do.
They're not big on the oeuvre of Kevin Costner.
I will agree with that. Yeah. So we're sitting around this table for about an hour talking about, well, can we say hell? Can we say damn? Can we say ass? Can we say balls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's the difference between crap and shit?
Yeah. Right.
Apparently one's okay and one's not.
Right.
We have a Russian character named Elena Kutchakov.
That's right.
Which was deemed that, and I don't disagree, that might not be an appropriate name for a kid's show.
And bless her, Mary is hysterical. I mean, I don't think she realized how funny she was being, but she was saying, well, you know, I'm not really so much into cock, but dick is okay.
Yeah.
Or junk. Junk and dick, but cock is not.
Right, right. So, so we changed Elena Kutchakov to Elena Kutchajunkov.
Yes.
There were lots of those kinds of comments going around the table too, because there was an issue. There's a line in there about Babe Ruth has tested positive for beer and hookers, and Jonathan, the head of the education department, said quite clearly he likes hookers.
Well, no. We cut it out for the dress rehearsal.
At first, we said, yeah. He said, yeah, we should change
it. And for the first student show, we cut it out. And then Mary came back after the first show and said, Jonathan wants hookers.
Yeah.
What?
Wow, something really changed for him. No, but what was great about that first student performance is that we tried a lot of things, or not a lot, but a handful of things, and to see these lines in context of performance, and to see the context of what we're talking about, to see the context in which we're playing it, because one person will say something inappropriate, and the other two will go, oh, you know, because the other characters in the play are saying that's inappropriate.
Well, I don't watch a lot of primetime TV, but because of the fall, there's some new shows I wanted to see.
Right.
And I'm watching stuff on primetime TV, and it's far bluer than anything we do in this show. So I need to watch more, but I guess I need to be more aware of what's playing on network TV.
Well, I mean, yes, and we've always said that. We've always said that we don't say anything that you can't say on network TV, but that is not really a ringing endorsement.
Well, and the other thing,
it's a very low bar.
Well, there's a couple of things. Well, there's several things that they're trying to deal with here. One, at a student show, the parents are not there. So the students are coming with teachers, and so the teachers have to be extra careful that they're not going to see anything that the parents would not deem appropriate. The kids are fine with all of it. The kids show love, loved it. And and when the kids are there with their parents, it's fine, because if parents are bringing their kids to theater, these are usually families that go out and see a lot of things, and if it's something you don't agree with, it's a point of discussion. It's not something to walk out on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You hit it on the head. It's the chain of responsibility.
Yeah.
The
right.
teachers don't want to hear from the parents about what they took their kids to see at the theater.
Right.
The teachers don't want to get letters or phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the people here at the lovely New Victory Theater don't want to get phone calls or letters from the teachers who are worried about letters from the parents.
Although they're okay with a few of those. They just don't want to be deluged.
Well, and Mary doesn't want to lose her job, and we want to keep coming back here.
Yeah.
You know,
so.
all of the above. Now, this afternoon at
the
matinee.
You can see why this conversation went on for an hour after our first preview.
Well, and this afternoon at the matinee, we had a lot of younger kids. They're advertising it for for 10 and up.
Yeah.
But you know that means they're going to be coming in younger, which is fine. I mean,
we brought our
kids came, when they were carrying them to our shows. But this afternoon, we thought in the first act especially, and then people sort of warmed up and it was fine, that there was a lot of retired people and then some families with young kids. And we had a little feeling in the first act that some of the older folks who were okay with the humor were a little concerned that maybe it wasn't okay with the younger kids. But then they all figured out, they all like it, it's all funny, it's good.
Right.
Mary Rose says, there's always one thing from out of left field. You see a dress rehearsal, you read the script, you're not expecting it. And one person said, there's a moment where I say, oh my gosh, I am a nerd, and I take out my inhaler and take a hit.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, we don't want to make the kids who have inhalers feel bad.
Right.
Right.
So just think that. Think through
too.
That moment.
Right. But and yet again, the dramatic moment is we're calling your character a nerd, and you're rejecting the label.
Right.
You pull out your inhaler.
I'm a nerd because I like baseball.
You're a nerd because you like baseball, and then because everybody's a nerd about something. I mean, that's kind of the subtext of the scene. And so you finally go, all right, I'm a nerd, and we go, yes, you are a nerd. That's awesome. You know, that's an awesome thing.
And besides, what I said to Mary is, I said, look, all these nerds who are feeling so sensitive about now as they get bullied at school, I'm fine with them being bullied, because you know what? Later on in life, they're going to make 10 times more money than we all make, because they're going to be the CEOs, the Steve Jobs and the Bill Gates of this world.
I'm David Carlyon, and I wrote Dan Rice, the most famous man you've never heard of, and this is the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Did I do good?
Where can you RSC the RSC? For the next 2 weeks, you can see us performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged at the New Victory Theater in New York City. And next month, we'll premiere our latest stage show, The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
The two things that I think were the biggest things that we had to talk about were issues of sexuality, because we have a whole section on the gay games, and then issues of race, or racial slurs, because we have two things. We have a point about the gay games. We talk about the gay games, and I thought it was fascinating to discover that there is such a thing as a gay games featuring the cream of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender athletes. So we celebrate it, and in the way we celebrate it is to point out the inherent homoeroticism.
Did you just giggle like a girl?
I did just giggle like a girl. Okay. The inherent homoeroticism of National Football League play-by-play calling. You know, it's that you could if you took the same call from whatever the call is. Oh, I love this man. I love everything about him. He's got great hands, powerful thighs. You put your arms around a guy like this, try to pull him down. His muscles keep pumping. You know, You put that over on the gay games, and it suddenly has an entirely different connotation.
So it would seem.
But we seem to have solved it, at least for the evening shows, which, you know, it's not all students.
Right.
We didn't want the show to just, you know, break down into, So for the evening shows, that's still in there.
Well, and
but I'm leaving my shirt on.
Yes.
It's slightly less erotic.
Yes.
Only slightly.
Well, and you know, we stopped at pumping and pumping. Then there was a pounding and pounding and coming, and that made it more overtly sexual. And so I'm sorry, why? You know, look it up. Google it.
Okay.
And so you keep your shirt on, and we don't pound and come. And it worked for the schools. They said, okay, go ahead, and you can put that back in for the schools. And then there was an issue of they flagged it in the script because at the very beginning you introduced me by saying he bats right, he votes left, he swings both ways, and they were going, oh gosh, okay. But we were going, well, why is that bad? If the implication is that I'm bisexual, I'm clearly proud of it. Why is that an issue? I'm not ashamed of being labeled that way.
Yeah.
So isn't that good to see somebody on stage who's not ashamed of being called that?
And you know what? Just like in baseball, if you are ambidextrous, you swing both ways, well, you have more chances. Well, so in life with your sexuality.
Well, and this is the great thing about our job is that we get to go up to the line and cross the line to make a point, but then come back on the other side, safely on this side of the line, and say, hey, we were just making a point. You know, we're making it, so we get to have our laughs and eat them too, you know? It's like we get to play in the Shakespeare show when Reed kisses you. Yeah, or you kiss him, or whatever it is on stage part. What you do backstage, I don't care about.
Okay.
But on stage, you know, you get to milk the homophobic laughs of the groans of the audience, going, oh no, they're gonna.
Well,
kiss.
I remember they were a little worried about that here.
Yeah.
Last time, but then if the kids if the adults ooh, my response is always, get over it.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Exactly.
It's the 21st century.
Yeah,
so,
get over it.
Yeah.
So and that's the thing too. We have our lines that we establish when we're performing, and the trick was finding the new lines here at the New Victory, because they have lines too, and they're not quite as broad as ours. So, and that led us into the longest conversation, which is at the end of the first act. We're talking about football team names, and you're confused about the origins of some of them, but then you're also upset about the use of the word Redskin as the name for the Washington football team, the Washington Redskins.
And my character says, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
And so, then Matt's character says, well,
I say, okay, well, if Redskins is okay, then how about the Detroit Darkies or the Waco Wetbacks?
Right. And we start go, whoa, hey, what?
So if you just turn it around a little, it's not okay.
Yeah, suddenly you use a word. Everybody's so used to saying Redskins, nobody has a problem with it. And yet if you use a different offensive term, suddenly people have a problem with that. Well, maybe Redskins there's a problem with Redskins too.
Yeah. So there was a big, long discussion about, well, what can we say? Honkies seemed okay.
Yeah.
The Wisconsin Whiteys is one we added in there.
Well, New York Yids. I mean, we're actually in New York. And who goes to theater? The Jews, you know? I mean, who are we going to offend? But nobody has a problem with that.
Right.
Maybe it's just because it's like, really? That's a real slur? Do people use that word?
Right. Well, so Detroit Darkies and, Charleston Chinks are out. And we said, but the point is that those are bad terms to use.
Yeah.
And they were saying, well, yeah, but, you know, in schools, you're not allowed to use any of it. And
right.
so if you hear it on stage, is that at some level, giving the, it's the argument about Huck Finn
yeah.
that uses
mm-hmm.
the N-word. Well, mm. now in some schools, you can't even read Huck Finn
yeah.
because the N-word is in there, even though it's used to make the point against racism.
Right.
And that's the long discussion we had about what can we say and what can't we
well,
say.
And it also, that presupposes that, you know, I know my kids watch an enormous amount of inappropriate television. I mean, South Park is enormously mm. inappropriate. But my kids know that what language is inappropriate.
Yeah.
And the reason it's funny is because you're laughing because you laugh at the forbidden.
Mm.
And they say stuff and you go, oh my God, are they allowed to say that? You know, and there's that shock. And I think particularly in South Park's case, and I like to think in our case as well, we're using that shock value to make a satirical point. It's
yep.
not just an Adam Sandler
yep.
movie and you're being gross
yep.
for no purpose.
And I think what they're worried about is people not having that level of sophistication to get it. Because
right.
if you don't get it, and this happens in the real world with real grown-ups all the time, if you don't get it, you're going to get all upset and bent out of shape.
Right.
And then, you know, then we start doing weird things like changing words to N-word, or, you know, you can no longer be black, you can be African-American.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm technically not white, nor am I Caucasian. You
yeah.
know, I don't even know what I am.
Right.
But you get into this weird, blurry world of sensitivity. And I understand that. That's good. And we do need rules. But like I was telling you, in light of our conversation about the show and what we can say and not say, I went home and watched some horror film where they were not bleeping, but just doing silence for any questionable words.
Right.
And this girl says to the lead character, you know, you're a blank. And then he went, what did you call me? And she said, I said, you're a blank. And then I went, oh, what is she saying? And I'm trying to read lips. And then the scriptwriter, I guess, was trying to test the censors. Because the scriptwriter said, okay, I'm going to have her spell it out.
Yeah.
So she says, I called you an F-A blank. And they bleeped out or silenced the last letter.
The G.
The G. And so, as it turns out, silly girl, this guy that she was calling an F-A blank happens to be a serial killer, so he murders her. But 30 seconds later, I'm actually watching his baseball bat bashing her brains out on the cement.
Right.
And they didn't cut that. They
well,
actually...
that's okay. That's not offensive.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
right.
violence.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That's just violence.
Yeah, and I was just objecting at how lame the gore was, really. That's all. I just
well, but it wasn't somebody else who... You were telling me somebody was commenting on... was it Tim Minchin?
Yeah.
The
oh,
comedian
yeah.
musician
yeah.
who, you know, this is the week, if, depending when you're listening to this, that Muammar Gaddafi
yeah.
was killed in Libya.
Yeah.
And that, you know, his body and his everything.
His corpse. Yeah.
Is on the front of newspapers around
well,
the world.
Yeah.
But then Tim Minchin goes, it's okay to show that where kids are walking past newsstands, but I can't say bastard on the BBC?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like it's like we say in the American History Show. You know, you can't show a nipple. You can't show a woman's lips kissing a nipple. But you can show that nipple being lopped off with a chainsaw,
yeah.
that's okay.
That's okay.
And not only is it okay, but it'll sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. You know, there was one other line we forgot to mention, and we weren't sure whether we were going to be able to keep it in the show or not, but we were, thankfully, able to keep the reference to ex-Congressman Wiener. Ex-Congressman Wiener is intact. Send us your off-color language via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, ball boy Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Diana Whitley. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to David Carline. Pick up your copy of Dan Rice, the Most Famous Man You've Never Heard Of, wherever fine reading materials are sold. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 255/765 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Well, the other thing that was we initially cut is the Tiger Woods punchline update.
Yeah, that's right.
And got restored.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was the Tiger Woods punchline update brought to you by Nike, Gatorade, and McDonald's. Today's punchlines, just do it, is it in you, and I'm loving it.
That's a good way to end.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much
and
less.
So much less.